Blog Talk Radio.
The Lord is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. God bless you. Good evening. This is Reverend Aaron Williams. You are listening to DTW Ministries right here on Blog Talk Radio by way of Purpose Kingdom Network. This is the 1138th episode of Purpose Kingdom. And call a friend, tell a neighbor, 319-527-6091 or 323-870-4174. I'm so excited about tonight's topic because the Lord gave it to me. You know, sometimes he just drops things on you while you're just going about your day-to-day routine. That's why I'm so glad that God is in everything. I tell you, you can't miss him unless he hides himself. But God is revealing himself to us day by day. God, we do thank you. Let's pray. And we bless you for your goodness. We bless you for your greatness, for you are a great God. God, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that lives on the inside of each and every one of your children. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that the words of my mouth, that the meditations of my heart, that they would be acceptable in your sight. Oh, Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. 319-527-6091, 323-870-4174. I was out of work. You know, those that had prayed for me, you know, heard that my father had passed, you know, and I had took some days. God gives us some time off for bereavement. So I took some days, you know, and went home for a while, a few days. And when I came back, and I say I've been out of work for a week because the coverage of the weekend, the days from last Tuesday. So I came back to work today and expecting to move on from yesterday, because I know that a lot of work doesn't get done because the numbers aren't in until the end of the day. So I expected a day's worth of work piled up because I usually would do it. But when I came in, much to my chagrin, none of the work since the day I left had been done. And I found myself working all the morning, starting from last Tuesday, the day that I was out, actually last Monday, because I had to do the time and overtime on our time chart. And when I was complaining in my mind, saying that I don't believe that no one did this, you know, I heard the Lord say, "I'm not replacing you." And I thought of that. I pondered on that because I knew we had the broadcast tonight, and I had been asking the Lord, "God, you got to give me a word for tonight." And I'm not replacing you is what I even hear it now saying. I'm not replacing you. And we're going to turn and go through, you know, hopefully verse by verse, some of the points in the book of Jonah. Jonah only has four chapters, you know, and, you know, when I look at in the world, a lot of people, I know a gentleman, he never took vacation. He had so much vacation when he was ready to retire that he could have not worked for a full year and still had more time when his retirement came, that he had sick days and vacation days, but he wanted it all on one check. So when I asked him, I said, "Why you never take vacation?" And his fear was that someone would come in and do his job and they would like them better. Yeah, now to say he was a character, so I could see why he would have that fear. But his fear was that someone would replace him. And, you know, you look out in the sports world, you know, someone twists their ankle, someone breaks a leg, someone breaks an arm, someone has an injury. You hear the whistle, you hear the bell, you hear the buzzer go off, you hear a timeout called. But what happens is that person is taken to the side and is replaced. When it happens to the job, when time goes on, listen, the world will replace you. Your job will replace you. Family will your husband, your ex-wife, your ex-husband will replace you. But God will never place you. Then we're going to start in the book of Jonah. And I'm already excited about just knowing that God has not just my best interest, but has our best interest at heart. And he's not like us. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts higher than our thoughts. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our. Even in this story of Jonah, I often think of and continue to hear the prodigal son. And we talk about the prodigal son. And this is just a quick reference, because we talk about the story of the prodigal son, and we always talk about the son that left, because of how he wasted his living, because of how he threw away what he was given. But we don't talk about the son that threw away everything that he had to his access, everything that he had available to him that he never tapped into. And I asked, I had Minister Calvin Myers asked, he said, which son was really the prodigal? And because of the definition, we always go to the son that left. And we talk about the sons, but that story is really about the father. Listen, child of God, every story we read in the Bible, yes, we glean out life. We glean out truth. We glean out victory. We glean out stories that relate to us. But listen, every story in the Bible is about a king and a kingdom. Every story in the Bible is about God and the kingdom of God. And listen, and the people of God. When I read the story starting in chapter 1 of Jonah, it says, now the word of the Lord, this is verse 1, came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise. Now, this is the first point that the Lord pointed out to me. Arise. It's time for us. It's time for us as children of God to come higher, to arise, to wake up out of sleep, to wake. And I like the word wake up. It's time to get up. It's time to press up. Why? It's time to dress up, because we're about to go up. Arise, Jonah, and go to Nineveh. And the story of Nineveh, I'm not going to get into the culture and the country and the story of Nineveh, but it was an Assyrian, it was the capital of Assyria. You know, Nineveh was like the New York. Nineveh was like L.A. Nineveh was like that city that everyone wants to, because that's where everything is happening. You know, so Nineveh was that great city. And he said, listen, cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. And I'm going to jump from there, but just to start there, get up. Pastor Smith, you just say, get up, dress up, because we're ready to go up, and cry against it. Verse 3 says, but Jonah rose up. Hey, he did what God told him to do. He got up. He got up with purpose. He got up with ambition. He got up under the command of God. But listen, his direction Sometimes we get up, we get up in purpose, but our purposes are not to fulfill the purposes of God. Our purposes are to fulfill our own worldly purpose, our own desires, our own goals, our own ambitions. And we're spending time. Listen, there's nothing wrong with chasing wealth. There's nothing wrong with trying to acquire wealth, to make a legacy, to have something to leave to not just your children, but your children's children. But we have lost the purpose of what God has told us to arise for. He said, arise and go to Nineveh. Arise and do my will. But Jonah in verse 3 rose up. It says to flee unto Tarshish. Listen to this, from the presence of the Lord. And we know that if we make our bed in hell, he's there. If we go to the uttermost parts of the world, he's there. If we go to the highest mountain, he's there. So why does this say from the presence of God? Because the purpose of God is where you find the presence of God. Where you find the presence of God, you find the provision of God. Where you find the provision of God, you find the protection of God. Where you find these parts of God is where you will find God. He went away from his presence because God's presence was in the direction of what his word had told. God's presence was in his direction of instruction. God's presence, Jonah's obedience. But Jonah chose to flee the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish in the opposite direction. Listen, so he paid these words. These words are messing me up. Because as I'm reading it word by word, we know we go word by word. We go letter by letter. We go here a little, there a little. We don't skip over parts. We try to stay in the context of what being said. But it says, so he paid the fare. My God. I hear the Spirit of the Lord wooing to encourage you tonight, because some of you have paid your dues. You've paid to get where you are. But the problem is, where you are is not where you were called to go. Where you are is not where he told you and the direction he pointed you to go. But it says Jonah paid the fare. He found out how much it cost. We know in the Gospels it said that no man goes to build unless he first count the cost. Jonah counted the cost. How much does it cost for me to run from the presence of God? How much does it cost for me to still be successful but do it my own way? How much does it cost? How much are we willing to pay? My God, how much are we willing to invest to stay away, to still look successful, but not do what God told us to do? I know I'm talking good right here. How much are we willing to sacrifice, to look good, to look successful, to look like we're going somewhere? Listen, Jonah went up to Joppa to find route, to find ship to go to Tarshish, to get away from the word of God, to get away from the will of God, to get away from the presence of God, to get away from the purpose of God. But he paid his fare. He did what was necessary to get there. A lot of us are doing what's necessary where we are to get the success that we're looking for, to get the husband, to get the wife that we're looking for, to get the house, to get the car, to get the ministry that we're looking for, willing to pay, but still knowing that God is going in the opposite direction. The tragedy of the story of Jonah is that not that he paid, not that he went to Tarshish, not that he was swallowed in the belly of the whale. The tragedy of the story of Jonah is that he knew the direction he was going was the wrong direction. He knew success wasn't in the direction that he went, but he still was willing to pay to get there. Some of us know what we're doing is not in the will of God, but because it looks like success, because people still pat us on the back, because people still gravitate towards us, because gifts are still flowing, continue to move in a direction that's moving further and further away from the purposes of God in our life. My God. So he paid the fare and went down into the ship. Oh, yeah, yeah. To go with them. My goodness. To go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And these next two verses, I want to stay right there in the bottom portion of verse 3 while I read these next two verses in 4 and 5, because I believe it's very significant when we're telling the story of Jonah. In verse 4 it says, "But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken, like it was in danger of wrecking. And the mariners, those that were purposed in the shipping industry, were afraid." Listen, let me finish reading this because I don't want to get there yet. "And cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship unto the sea to lighten it of them." Those that were trained, those that had experience in shipping, those that had experience in sailing, those that had experience on the sea were afraid. So much afraid that every man cried unto his own God and cast forth the wares. Listen, the mariners were aware that the cargo on the ship was why they traveled the sea. The mariners that were on the ship, my goodness, I'm getting excited already, that were on the ship were aware that the merchandise that they carried was why they were on the sea. The mariners that were on the ship were aware that throwing these things overboard was going to cost them money, was going to cost them fortune, was going to cost them the desire of why they first loaded into the ship. The mariners were afraid, and every man cried unto his God and cast forth the merchandise that was in the ship to make it lighter. But Jonah was going down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. Listen, child of God, every time we're out of the will, of the plan, of the purpose, of the focus of God, every time you and I miss God, someone has to pay. And the problem is, most of the time, it is those that are purposed to go in the direction that they're going. And because we're traveling with them, we bring on the judgment of God on them because they're connected to us. Listen, God was correcting Jonah. Listen, God was chastising Jonah. Listen, God was dealing with Jonah. But because Jonah was out of position, because Jonah was out of place, because Jonah was out of purpose, my God, everyone in the ship to lose their wares. Everyone in the ship had to cast off their cargo. Everyone in the ship had to lose their fortune. Everyone in the ship had to lose their commerce. Everyone in the ship, listen, every time you are out of the plan of God, you cause people to lose their wealth, their worth, their commerce, their purpose, because God will deal with you and everyone that's connected to you until you get back in line. And I said I want to because it connects in me with verse 3. So he paid the fare back up, jumping back up, and went down into the ship to go with them to Tarshish. The mariners, the people that were on the ship, had purpose to go. Jonah went because he was running. The people that were in the ship had planned to go. Jonah was in the ship because he was hiding. It's a saying that said we hear a lot now. It says, hiding in plain sight, my God. Child of God that's in the house of God, that's doing the service of God. I have to ask this question when I read the book of Jonah. Are you yet in the plan of God? We're in the house. We're doing the service. But are we in purpose? Are we in our proper function? When I read and I hear a lot of what comes and how God deals with me comes through in my ministry, because my desire is not my giftedness. My desire is not my gifts and my talents. My desire, I find, like David, don't take your spirit from me, God. And we've been praying that God would heal, that God would deliver, that God would set free, that God would fix. And I often look at our behavior that God is trying to fix, but God is not trying or worrying so much about our behavior. God is looking at our heart. He said, well, how do you get heart out of Jonah? Because in chapter 4, it tells us where Jonah's heart. Jonah did the will of God. Jonah cried out in the belly of the fish in chapter 2. Jonah did what God told him and saw the results were fruitful. But chapter 4 shows us the true position of the heart of Jonah. He was upset. He was mad. He was angry at God because he knew that if God came and gave him a word, that God, being compassionate, being loving, being patient, being him quick to forgive, was going to show grace to someone, to a nation that was Israel's enemy. And herein is my first challenge. My first challenge is we walk this walk. We walk through this life knowing that it's people, that it's things that push our buttons. Chapter 4, verse 1 says, but it displeased Jonah greatly, and he was very angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, I pray thee, O God, wasn't not this my saying when I was yet in my own place? When I was in the place before you called me out of my comfort zone, before you called me out of where I was dwelling at, where I was operating, where things were working for me, that's why I left. Because I knew if I did it, you wasn't going to punish these people. Some of us don't go to our friends or our ex-friends or our family members to ask for forgiveness, to seek counsel, to seek reconciliation. Listen, forgiveness doesn't always mean reconciliation. But when your heart wants to be right toward God, there are certain things you will seek out because you see its wickedness, because you see the deceitfulness of your own heart, because you see through the word of God, through prayer, that God is still calling us to come higher. Jonah was very angry. He said, listen, that's why I left. That's why I went the way that I went. That's why I went to Tarshish, for I knew you were gracious. I knew you were merciful. I knew you were slow to anger. Yeah, you said you was going to judge them, but I knew if you gave a word for me to give them that they had a chance to repent. Some of us don't give people a chance to repent because we want them to go to hell, my God. We want them to suffer the wrath of God. We want them to suffer the judgment of God. We want them to be separated from God. And we think that the love of God dwells in our heart. Slow to anger and of great kindness and repented thee of the evil. Change their mind. That if people would change their action, that if people would change their posture. Listen, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, my God, if my people, he wasn't talking to the heathen here. He was talking to the church. He was talking to the children of Israel. If Israel, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray. I've said this before, and I feel point to say it again. To pray, we have to humble ourselves just to be in the correct posture to pray. My God, just to pray. I have to deny me. Just to pray right, I have to deny myself. I have to humble myself. I have to take myself low because pride will often try to stick its head out. Pride will say, I'm not the problem. Pride will say, no, it's my brother, it's my mother, it's my father. It's them, God, and not me. But humble humility will say, it's not my brother, not my father, it's not my sister, it's not them, God, it's me that stands in the need of prayer. But Jonah said, therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech. Look, I done did your will, but I don't even want to see. I don't want to see how you want to prosper these people. Take my life, for it's better for me to die than to witness your grace upon someone that I think is worthy of hell. My God. I know y'all not wanting to hear this. I didn't even know which way the Lord was going to take me with that because I was stuck on verse 4 and 5. Verse 5 keyed in on chapter 1. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God. Listen, there is trouble. That those that don't believe, they say God doesn't exist, but you bring enough trouble, let enough trouble hear their way, come their way, and they'll be calling on God with all their might. Some people say they don't believe on the name of Jesus, but as soon as something happens, that's the first name that comes out of their mouth. My God, cast forth their wares, cast forth their wealth, cast forth their purpose. Listen, they were on the ship for trade. They were on their ship to carry it to Tarshish. They were on their ship. Some might have had furniture. Some might have been relocating. Some were doing it for commerce and trade. But whatever, they began to throw what they carried with them overboard. My goodness. There is a trouble that will help you to realize, help you and I to realize that there's nothing more worth than my soul. The mariners, those that were on the ship, realized when the ship seemed like it was about to break that this stuff that I put value to, these things that I put on the ship for trade, these things that I put on the ship for cargo, these things, these wares that were on the ship don't mean anything if I don't survive. My goodness. But Jonah, but the child of God, but the man of God, but the woman of God was going down into the sides of the ship and lay fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him, verse 6 in chapter 1, and said unto him, What is it though? How can you be laying here asleep? Get up. And now, see, first God told him to get up. Now, the sea captain, the shipmaster, said, listen, get up. My goodness, I'm calling a child of God tonight. This is your third call. You heard me say it in verse 2 of chapter 1. You're hearing me say it in verse 6 of chapter 1. Now, I'm saying it to you right here on Purpose Kingdom Network, BTW Ministries. Get up, arise. Get up into purpose. Arise. Get up into the plan of God. Arise. Get up into the function of God. Arise and get up into the position of God. Listen, Jonah went to Tarshish with purpose. Jonah paid the cost to go to his desired purpose, but his desired purpose was out of the purposes of God. Arise, listen, call unto your God. See, we understand and realize, we need to understand, if we don't, that we need God. Even in your giftedness, you need God. Even in your talent, you need God. Even in your understanding, in your wisdom, in your craftiness, you need God. My God, for it is God that works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure, except we abide in him, and he abide in us. Except we abide in him, we have no life in ourselves, being but a branch. Arise and call on your God. If so be that God will think on us, will look on us, will consider us, that we don't perish. And they said, everyone unto his fellow, verse 7, come, let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is come on us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. It's something to understand and recognize when you know you're out of the will of God. But when those around you begin to recognize that you're out of the will of God, it says that the lot fell on Jonah. Why is these things, why are these calamities, why are these troubles? Listen, I'm a mariner. I'm a sea captain. I've been on this water many times traveling, and I have not experienced this type of tempest, this type of storm that is causing and has caused me to throw over my commerce, to throw away my trade, to throw away my wealth, to throw away my livelihood, to throw away my furniture, to throw away and cast it overboard. It's one thing when we know we're out of the will of God. But when it becomes evident to others that you're out of place, what will be your excuse to get in line? And the lot fell upon Jonah. Verse 8, then said they unto him, tell us, we pray, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is your job? What are you supposed to be doing? And where are you coming from? What are you? They knew that Jonah was running away from purpose, because they asked him, listen, where you're coming from and where are you from and who do you belong to? They wanted to know, because they were knowledgeable of what the Word of God said and about curses and about who God was against them. And they're older, and we even see it on TV and with Greek mythology, the gods were against you. This is how we pictured and perceived God when evil befell people. If something happened as a calamity, we attested to that must have been their God. And they're saying the same thing here in verse 8 of chapter 1. What are you supposed to be doing? What is your occupation? Is the first question. Well, the first question is, who's caused this evil to come upon us? That was the overall question all of them were asking. But then the first question they asked Jonah, what is your job? What is your purpose? What are you supposed to be doing? What is your vocation? And said, and where are you coming from? Where are you? Are you supposed to be where you were? Are you running from purpose? Where are you going? Or where are you headed? And say, where are you headed? Are you headed into a place where your God told you not to go? Or are you leaving a place where God told you not to leave? What is your country? Who do you belong to? And what and of what are you? They ask these questions. Listen, my God, child of God, we often ask those same questions when we see someone out of purpose, out of place. Do you know your purpose? Do you know what God is having, you're supposed to be doing? What church you came from? What's your affiliation? How did you get here? What is your country? Where did you originate? Where did your ministry start? And what people are you from? Because when I know your people, then it gives me a better understanding of why you act the way you act. Listen, the Bible says that who is he that judges another man's servant? It's Christ that died. That's why I don't worry about what people say and think about me, because I know I have someone who I imitate and that I'm trying to imitate, that I'm trying to duplicate, that I'm trying to surrender myself, that I may be more like him, not more like you. Not you more like me, but that we may all be like Christ. What's your job? What's your purpose? What is your occupation? It says in verse 8. And where are you coming from? And what is your country? Where are you going? And who are your people? Verse 9 says, I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord. Listen. I fear the Lord my God, the God of heaven, which made the sea and the dry land. I can't get away from him. Everywhere I go, it's a place that he created. Everywhere I go is a place that he dwells, because he is the God of heaven. Verse 10 says, then were the men exceedingly afraid. They heard about this God. They knew about the, they knew about this Jehovah. They knew about the Hebrews God. And it says, and the men were exceedingly afraid. They were with great fear and said unto him, why have you done this? They were upset. If you know the purpose of God, you knew the plan of God, you knew the focus of God, you knew the will of God, why did you do something different? And then not just why did you do something different, but why did you come with us? That's really what they were asking. Why have you done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Yeah, I paid to get on this ship. Yeah, I paid my dues. Yeah, I'm good in the area that I'm being used. I've done what was necessary to be here. But I know that I'm out of purpose. I know that I'm out of position. I know that I'm out of the plan of God. I know that I'm out of the will of God. Listen, I'm running from his presence. My God. And it says, because he had told him there, then said they unto him, what shall we do to you, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea raged tempestuous against them, or tempestuously against them. My goodness. When we look at the purpose of God, when we look at the plan of God, when we look at the focus of God, when we look at the will of God, when we look at the word of God, what is our direction? What is our preview or review of telling us to do? I want to challenge you again right here that if you know you're a Christian, then you know that you're not in the plan of God. You're being prosperous. Yeah, you're making more money now than you ever have. I'm talking to myself right there. You're making more money now. Things are going so much your way, but you know, even though you've paid to get there, even though you've paid your dues, listen what it said to Jonah in verse 3 of chapter 1. It says, so he paid the fare to go. He paid the fare and he went with them that were going to Tarshish. Listen, from the presence of the Lord. When we're out of the will of God, it says here in verse 3, what I'm reading, is that he didn't only leave, but them that were with him went out of the plan of God also. My God, that's tragedy. It's bad enough to go out of the plan and purposes of God by yourself. But to go out of the plan and purpose of God and take others with you, my goodness. Mm-mm. How many ministries have been started out of the purpose of God, out of the will of God, out of the plan of God? You knew you wasn't in the plan of God, but you were gifted. You knew you wasn't in the purposes of God, but they didn't let you preach enough where you were sitting. Yes, God had called you to preach, but you didn't see it as a time to make full proof of your ministry through evangelism and bringing people into the house. You went to start building your own house. Here is a call to every minister. If you left the church that you're in, if you left the church that you were in because you didn't believe you had enough opportunity to express your gift, I'm going to ask you to pray about this. But I want to challenge you to go back to that pastor. You don't have to go back and stay, but to ask them to forgive you. Because I'm telling you, the reason why you left was out of the plan of God. Your leaving might have been in the purpose of God, but you got to get that relationship right. All right, that's enough. God, I do thank you and I bless you for the word that proceeds out of your mouth. God, thank you for your will. Thank you for your plan. Thank you for your purpose. God, I pray in the name of Jesus for each and every believer, in the name of Jesus, that you would strengthen us, that you would enlighten us, that you would help us to humble ourselves, that every dark place of our hearts that tries to hide, that your word would illuminate in the name of Jesus, that your word would bring light to every dark place, every hidden thing, even as we cast down every imagination and everything that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. We rebuke in the name of Jesus, and we surrender our wills, our desires, our appetites, that they may be molded, that they may be shaped to yours. So we give you a fresh yes tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. If you do not know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, you have not received him to come. You have not asked him to forgive you and to come into your heart and to renew you. The Bible says that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I'm going to say a simple prayer, and I'm going to ask that you repeat after me. I'm going to ask that as you repeat, you say it with all of your might. You say it and mean it, and God will do exact you ask him to do. Say, God, be merciful to me, sinner. Forgive me of my sin and wash me in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Save my soul and write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I ask it in Jesus' name and to his glory. Lord Jesus, by your Spirit, come into my heart and be Lord and Master of my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. If you said what you meant and meant what you said, God has done exactly what you've asked. At this time, we're going to bring on Minister Rob, and he's going to come and give you some further information on how to correspond with Purpose Kingdom and give you some other announcements, you know, and then I'll be back with the final words and the benediction. God bless you.
All right. God bless you, too. Reverend Williams, thank you for the word for tonight. And if you have turned your soul over to the Lord tonight, you know, we suggest you find a Bible-believing, teaching, preaching sanctuary that alerts you to the world of Christ. If you can't find that home sanctuary or that home church, that's why we're here at Purpose Kingdom Network, where we provide a night of ministry almost each and every night that we're able to provide a night of ministry. So if you find that church home, please, you'll feel welcome here, and don't forget to invite a friend. If you want to correspond with us here at Purpose Kingdom Network via email, you can correspond with us at purposekingdom@gmail.com, where you can send your comments, questions, concerns. You can simply say hello or send a prayer request. We'd gladly honor that. We're also on Instagram and Twitter at purpose_kingdom. If you want to hear any of our past or previous broadcasts, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/purposekingdom. You can simply type in the host name or the show name, and you can hear that show in its entirety and at your convenience. We invite you to like us on Facebook, where you can see some of our upcoming shows and advertisements. And don't forget to tell a friend. And also, through any of our social media pages, we invite you to get a morning word of prayer on anchor.com or Anchor FM. If you can't find us on anchor.com or Anchor FM, you can just go to, like I said, on any of our social media pages, and you can follow the link, and you get a morning word of inspiration. Well, God's will, God's blessing. We hope you join us tomorrow evening at the 9 p.m. hour for Daughters of Ruth, hosted by Reverend Maureen Lee. And once again, with God's will, God's blessing, we hope you join us tomorrow evening at the 9 p.m. hour for Daughters of Ruth, hosted by Reverend Maureen Lee. With that being said, this is going to be the end of our announcements that we're going to bring back on Reverend Williams. And Reverend Williams, great show, and you're back on now.
Amen, amen. God bless you, God bless you. We definitely want to encourage you to take advantage and govern yourselves accordingly with the information that Minister Rob just left you on how to correspond and contact and tune in to Purpose Kingdom. Yo, if this is your first time, or maybe, you know, you've listened off and on, you listened sporadically to different ministries and different ministers that are on Purpose Kingdom. But again, I want to challenge you, as I always do, to, you know, when in your free time, you know, I was binge watching a show on Netflix, and it made me think about the archives on Purpose Kingdom. And I know that we binge watch shows. You know, I remember years ago, I think it was Breaking Bad, when someone told me about it at the job. I said, I'm going on vacation. Yeah, let me see. And I watched, I think, maybe like 5-6 seasons on that 1.5 weeks while I was on vacation. From the time I woke up to the time I went to bed, the only thing that was on my TV was Breaking Bad. And it was a crazy show. It was some crazy stuff on there. But I watched, I think it was 5-6, how many seasons I watched it all. So now, you're saying, what are you saying that? Because we have archives on Purpose Kingdom. And I want to challenge you, if you want to binge watch, you want to binge the Word of God and just get as much Word as you can, and go back into our archives, look up DTW Ministries, and go back as far as you can and just listen to the broadcast and listen to the Word of God, you know, and listen to Daughters of Ruth, listen to these ministries that are on, you know, that we can put a lot of things in our ear gates and in our spirits, in our mind, and in our eyes. But I want to challenge you to begin to put the Word of God in your ear. So you go Purpose Kingdom, blogtalkradio.com/DTW Ministries, and listen to DTW Ministries and just binge watch, just binge listen to as many broadcasts as you can when the time that you have allotted. And for those that are maybe in the Philadelphia area, I want to invite you to the Deliverance Evangelistic Church, of where I'm a member and associate minister under the pastorate of our great pastor, and that's the Reverend Glenn Spaulding. That's on 2001 West Lehigh Avenue in North Philadelphia. It's right across the street from Dobbins High School. So it's where the old Connie Mack Stadium used to stand in North Philadelphia. And then for the men that are in the area, this weekend is second Saturday, and every second Saturday, our men have a men's fellowship from 9 to 11 a.m. at the church. That's, again, 2001 West Lehigh Avenue. And I want to invite you to our men's fellowship that's happening this Saturday at 9 a.m. at the church. You know, there's no sign, so you just come in and security will direct you in the way that you are to head to get to where we're fellowshipping and meeting at. So when I speak, what encourages me about Jonah, because although it ends so abruptly, when I was reading it, it's like at the end of chapter 4, it's like it just stops in the middle of a thought. It just cuts off abruptly. But what encourages me is chapter 3 says, listen, Nineveh, after Jonah went and did what the Lord told him. Let me read through that since it's quick. Since it's not that many verses, it's only 10 verses in chapter 3. It says, and I'm going to try to just go through them without stopping. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah a second time, saying, arise. There you go, that arise again. Go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it, preaching that I bid thee. Say what I told you from before. This is the fourth time now. I've told you to arise twice. The people have told you to arise, and the minister have told you to arise. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now, Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. It took him 3 days just to walk through the city. Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, "Let neither man nor beast." Listen, he said, the chickens, the cat, the dog, ain't nobody eat until we get this thing right. When you are serious, my God, when you want a move, when you want God to change his mind, my goodness. Ah, yes, God. Joshua said, "As for me and my house, I don't care what nobody else is doing, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And he said, "Nor man nor beast, herd nor flock, the cow, the duck, listen, if they're under me, if they're under my authority, if they're under my care, if they're under my reach, if they're under my influence, they're not even just going to eat anything. Don't even taste it. Don't even try the tomato sauce. Don't even try a little bit of it. You're not just going to not eat. Don't put nothing into your lips." It said, "Don't even taste it. Let them not feed." Listen, we knew we were serious. "Nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth." Could you imagine that, walking down the street, seeing a sackcloth on the back of a donkey, seeing a sackcloth on the back of a bull, seeing a sackcloth hanging off the back of a duck, off a chicken, off the cattle, off the beast, off everything, the dog, the cat, everybody got sackcloth and ashes. It sounds funny, but it was such a great repentance that God, he said, listen, verse 8 says, "But let every man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily." Cry. I said I was going to try. I didn't say I was going to succeed. Oh, my goodness. I can stop right there for a little while. Cry mightily unto God. Listen, that God is capital. This was a heathen nation. But it didn't say cry unto their God. It didn't say God, little g. He said cry unto God. "Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that's in their hands." Who can tell? How will we know if God will turn and repent? If God will turn away from his fierce anger that we don't perish? Verse 10 says, "And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil, and God repented of the evil that he had said he would do to them. And he did it not." Listen, child of God, when our ways begin to fully please our God, he will make even our enemies to be at peace with us. God, and our Father, we do thank you for this day that you've made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. God, we pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done in us as it is in heaven." God, we pray that you would give us this day, this hour, this evening, daily bread, and that you would forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. God, we pray that you would lead us not into temptation, but that you may deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a great evening. We'll see you in church. Good night.
Jesus led.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Never wanna see me down, I will not lose.